A very good morning to you, my dear listeners. Very good morning to you, Namibia. It is a Monday morning, the 21st of July. The year is 2025. Slowly by slowly, this month is also getting towards the end. So, I don't know what have we done to the year? What is rushing for? What is the year rushing it for? So how was your weekend? How did you enjoy your weekend? Oh, let me tell you, our weekend here, especially in my hometown, it was vavavoom. Really vavavoom. It was full of urulation and, you know, dining and all that. So it was full of all of that. So yes, it was a weekend when we actually crown our queen, the Namibian queen. We're talking now Miss Namibia Johanna Swartboy. So she was crowned over the weekend, and it was really, really a great event. You know, one of those well attended, well organized. So, yeah. So it was a great event, and it was really good. And congratulations to Johanna Swartboy. And we wish her all the best, in her reign, this year, 2025. That was our weekend on this side. How was your weekend wherever you are? Hopefully it was a great weekend and you rested and you're ready to go again, this week. So welcome to Eagle FM. This is, Eagle FM, your 24 hours, you know, talk radio station. My name is Mike Oshoveni and this is Unpacking the Day, your daily dose of what is really going on in business, economics and politics. So every weekday, we cut through the noise to make sense of the big stories, trends, and number-making headlines. So we keep it clear, a little witty, and always curious, asking the question that matter and giving you a fresh talk, a fresh take on what people are saying out there. So the views shared during our segment don't necessarily reflect those of Eagle FM, and we are here. We are here to unpack what others are saying and spark meaningful conversation so you can be part of the bigger conversation. So this is your space to unpack the headlines and get to the heart of the stories. So, and if you're just joining us, good morning to you. Today is the 21st of the 7th month of July. 21st of July, and let's get into our segment of On This Day in Africa. What happened on this day in Africa? So on the 21st of August, I mean, not August, sorry. On the 21st, I'm rushing, you know. So 21st of July, 1960. What is wrong with me today? So 21st of July, 1960, President Kwame Nkrumah formally proclaimed Ghana a republic, becoming its first president. So this milestone marked Ghana's full sovereignty following independence in 1957 and underscore its role as a beacon of Pan-African leadership. So on the very same day, 21st of July, 1973, Amílcar Cabral, a leading figure in the struggle against Portuguese colonialism, was assassinated in Guinea-Bissau. So his death deeply impacted liberation movement across Africa, though his ideas continue to inspire long after his death. On the very same day, in 1985, that July 21st, 1985, during the Commonwealth Heads of Government meeting, African leaders intensified calls for stronger international sanction against apartheid South Africa, highlighting the continent's growing unity in opposing racial segregation. And July 21st, 2001, the new Partnership for Africa Development, NEPAD, was formally launched at the Organization of African Unity Summit. So NEPAD became a key initiative aimed at promoting economic growth, sustainable development, and political stability across the continent. So, and on 21st of July 2020, the Ethiopian Prime Minister Abiy Ahmed announced the completion of stage one of filling the massive GERD on the Blue Nile River, a move that intensified long-standing tension with Egypt and Sudan over water rights. And lastly, and finally, the 21st of July 2015, U.S. President, President Barack Obama, made his first official visit to Kenya during his presidency, highlighting the shared history and diplomatic ties between the United States and Africa, particularly recognizing his Kenyan history. All right, so that's what we have for today. That's what we have on this day in Africa. So, and what is our thought for the day today? So we're taking a quote from Martin Luther King. So freedom is never voluntarily given by the oppressor. It must be demanded by the oppressed. Freedom is never given voluntarily. It's never voluntarily given by the oppressor. It must be demanded by the oppressed. That's Martin Luther King. So King emphasized that those in position of privilege and power rarely relinquish control willingly. They don't. History shows, and he notes, that privileged groups seldom give up their privilege voluntarily. They don't do that. So whether it's in colonial context, segregationist societies, or the system or other system of inequalities, oppressors need external pressure to compel change. So King framed the struggle as ethical, civic, and communal. So real justice requires oppressed people to stand up and create a constructive tension when leaders refuse to act. So Martin Luther King was clear that oppressors or system perpetuating oppression do not dismantle themselves unless challenged. The oppressed must assert agency to reclaim their right actively. So wherever you are, you could be an oppressor or you could be an oppressed. And as Martin Luther King said, so those who are in privilege, they seldom give up their privileges voluntarily. So what we need to do is to, you know, they need external pressure to compel change. And what you need to do is to stand up and create a constructive tension where when leaders refuse to act. So wherever you are, so whether you're oppressed or the oppressed, you know, so you know what to do. I hope that would help to guide your day or the decision that you're going to make throughout the day today. So our thought of the day, freedom is never voluntarily given by the oppressor. It must be demanded by the oppressed. Martin Luther King Jr. All right, we're crossing now to Windhoek for our F&B Namibia segment. So we will be crossing to Windhoek for now, and then we will be back around 8 o'clock. Well, stay tuned, and I will be with you on the other side.
My friend, why do you seem so worried? Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere, country.
You are now tuned into the F&B segment, proudly brought to you by F&B Namibia.
A very good morning to you, and yes, Oshaveli, Mike Oshaveli has crossed over to Windhoek, the capital city, and we are coming to you live from the capital city right here on Eagle FM, in Eagle FM studios. Now today we are joined by Theo Hidulika. He is the client support specialist at F&B Namibia. Good morning, Theo, and welcome.
Good morning, listeners. I'm happy to be here today again.
Yeah.
How's it going?
All going well. So Theo, this is from one of our listeners, and they say, hi, I was tricked by someone in joining this fast making money platform, and I think they hacked my account. By now, I think they are using my account to scam people. So Theo, as someone who works at the bank, please emphasize to the listeners how there's no such thing as fast making platform.
All right. Firstly, I don't believe that the account was hacked, as you cannot hack F&B accounts. The first thing that I need to put it out there.
Yeah.
Unless you have unknowingly provided your login details to these people, which I'm assuming that is what transpired.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming that, the account takeover is being used as a mule account. So in this particular instance, please call the bank, make a police statement so that we can, see what we can do there, because the account needs to be now closed, or it needs to be investigated, because it's being used to scam people. What I can advise is, please do not fall for these fast, quick investment, fast money. There's no such thing as fast money. If it's not real, if it's too good to be true, it's not true. So what we have picked up is, these guys recruit our people with false promises. The people believe, then they provide their account information, and then the account are used in the process of scamming individuals. Now, remember, you will be held responsible for that as well. You will be part of the team that is scamming people, regardless if you did not know, because the bank is always saying, do not provide your information to anyone. By law, you are not supposed to share your account information and your login with individuals, because you don't know what they are doing, and it can lead you into a lot of legal problems. So yes, I would say to our fellow listeners and clients, please be wary of this. We see that there's been an upkeep of this that is transpiring, whereby individuals give away their account information and then later learn that their account was implicated in maybe a scamming activity or a client got scammed. So yes, be vigilant and report it to the bank as soon as possible. As well as when you're reporting to the bank, please try to give us detailed information. When were you called? By who were you called? What did they ask? What did you provide? It makes it easier for us to assist you as well with our external partners such as MTC, Telecom, and Namibian Police. So yeah.
Now, Theo, when approached with an investment opportunity, what are the questions people should ask themselves? For example, I know if I receive an opportunity and quote unquote via my DM, then it's 100% a scam.
All right. Firstly, the first thing you need to know, or the first thing you need to pick up, is the legitimacy of this transaction or this approach. A legitimate company will never approach you on social media. That is the first thing you need to understand. They will approach you via either their contact center, their emails, or their calls by their office. Secondly, please do more research on this investment. What type of company is it? Is it in Namibia? Is it a registered company? Have you heard about it before? Or is it just something that came out of the blue? Thirdly, if it's too good to be true, then it's definitely not true.
Yeah.
What is too good to be true? Let's say an investment scam comes up and say, if you invest 5,000, you'll get 25,000 by the end of the week.
Yeah.
That is unrealistic.
Yeah.
So also, here is where common sense also comes in, and also do more research. Ask, call the bank, call Bank of Namibia, call Namfisa. There's so many regulators that you can call to find out and report Once again, if they are approaching you on social media, it's 100% a scam.
Okay.
And you will lose money without knowing it. So please be vigilant. Look out for any, and also in the messages that they send, you see there'll be typos, there'll be funny things, you know? So those small things will save you. So pay attention to detail. And be very wary of these guys.
Okay. Pay attention to detail.
Yes.
Now, another one of our listeners says, I often receive notification from Google Chrome that my data or my email and password to a particular site was found in a data leak. Now, can such information be used to access my bank account?
Unfortunately, not.
With
FNB, we have a onion layer protection. What does it mean?
Mm.
If you look at an onion, you see that it has layers on layers on layers on layers. So yes, I think, earlier this year, there was a report that came through that, one of our telecommunication companies were hacked. As well as, I think, in the newspaper, there was another release at the Oshivarongo Town Council.
Yes,
was it?
Yes, municipality, yeah.
Yes. So with the banking systems, or with FNB to be in particular, we have an advanced system put in place. So there cannot be any external breaches. The onion layer protection means that after each layer, there's another layer. Your data is secured.
Mm-hmm.
This is why the individuals need you to go into your account. That is why they call you with false pretenses, with false investment schemes, and ask for your details, because they cannot. So I can guarantee you and confidently say that FNB is protected from cybersecurities, and your account information, including your personal information, is safe. They can only access your account if you play a part in it. So be very wary, and please stop sharing your banking information or any other information. Secondly, you mentioned that the client said, when they get their notification, what should they do? What I would advise is your passwords on everything, be that it's your banking, be that it's your phone, change them on a regular basis. Let them not be the same. Let them be unique.
Yeah.
And also, one of the things that, you can do to protect yourself, have 2FA authentication. What does that mean? It means that every time you want to log into something, it will send you a PRON. An OTP for you to confirm, just like how the banking app does.
Yeah.
That is what I have on all my my accesses, including Instagram, LinkedIn, everything. So this is just another wave of support or protection on your personal data, because the cyber guys are busy. They're busy trying to fish for your information and sell this on the dark web. Yeah.
And how do I do that?
So your phone should have that functionality.
Okay.
If you go into WhatsApp, for example, you go into security, there should be 2FA authentication available. What this means is every time you are going to log on WhatsApp on a different device, not your device, WhatsApp will send you a message with a OTP on your cell phone number to authenticate. This is just another layer of protection.
Yeah.
Secondly, one of the things that we can do is, I see that most of us do have online payments or online purchases.
Yeah.
That is how the Netflix, the Apple Music, the Google. Your card has a limit, right? So what I do is, when I'm not using my card, I block it. You can temporarily block it on the app.
Yeah.
The app works for free.
Yeah.
Secondly, you can set your international limit to that amount. For example, if you have Netflix and Apple Music that's going off, and it's an equivalent amount of 300, put the limit for the international purchase on 300, so that when it goes off, there's nothing else that will go off. So these are just the small things that you can do to protect yourself, but they go a long way.
They do.
Yeah.
Okay. Now let's emphasize on that point. Now, that a scammer needs you to get into your bank account. Let's say your card falls out of your pocket and someone picks it up. What's the most they can do with your card without your assistance?
All right. So there's two ways we can go around this story. The first one, it depends now. If your card is picked up and it's not blocked, the possibility of them tapping, that can happen, but a very low amount, is most of our tapping limit ends at 300. The tapping functionality is an added functionality on the card to make it safer. So that is what they can do. Secondly, if you have online secure means that every time a purchase is done online with your card, you first need to approve. If you have that, then you are safe from the online purchases, because the scammers will use the card number in front and the CVV number at the back to make a purchase, a crypto purchase or whatever it is, and then it will alert you. If you don't approve, then it will not go through. But if you do not have 3D secured, some might go. Some sites are not secured. But in this particular instant, the main point still comes at what happened if your card is lost. So there's two things you can do. You can cancel the card on your app immediately. The FNB app does not work with data on the MTC network. Even if you have zero credit, it will still work. Secondly, you can call the contact center. We are open 24/7. That helpline for the card is open 24/7, and the card will be canceled immediately. So do not wait. Do not wait for transaction to go off, because you will be held liable for that. It is your card. It is your responsibility. So if you do lose it, please try by all means to contact us, or at least cancel it on your app. If you think that you just misplaced it, you can temporarily block it until you find it. But our advice is always, if you cannot find your card within the first 10 minutes and you fear that you have lost it somewhere, please call.
Okay.
And cancel it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Lastly, Theo, walk us through step by step those procedures of reporting suspicious activity.
All right. So it will depends on what you're picking up. The easiest thing that you can do is monitor your account. As soon as you see a notification that you are not familiar with, a payment that went off, an attempt that didn't go off or tried to go off, the first thing you can do is call the bank at 061-299-2222. I'm going to repeat again, 061-299-2222. So once you have reported that, or once you have called that number, we then take charge.
Okay.
The first thing we're going to do is secure your account while we're trying to get more information. Most of the time, our clients will remember what transpired. They'll either say, no, I got a call, I click on a link, and so forth. So the most important thing is monitor your account, your notifications and your account. As soon as you see movement that you have not authorized or you have not made yourself report it, call the bank. We will put a hold on your account. Then we'll investigate with you, with your help, what exactly is happening. Did you perhaps give out your information unknowingly? Did you perhaps get a call and so forth? And also, one of the things that we have also picked up is that there is now a new trend. We call it vishing, impersonator, meaning that you'll get a call now, calling from whatever. You have one whatever. For you to get these funds, you need to do this and this. And most of our people do that, not knowing that they are actually being scammed. And then they give out their banking information. By the time they realize, it's too late. Secondly, the other one that we've also picked up is the AnyDesk.
Okay. Oh, AnyDesk.
Yes.
Okay.
So AnyDesk basically means that if it's a malware or system, basically, I will send you a link. You click on it. You install it unknowingly. So basically what you did there, you just gave a mirror of your PC to the scammers. Yes. So every time you go in, they can see everything. They can see your passwords. They can see your login information. So it's very, 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 very tricky to get around this. And also lastly, and I need this to go to everybody that's on Facebook or social media, the games that you are playing, please, let's not play games on Facebook. You click on a link or there's a video of the one that is trending now is, I think I even saw it. You can win a hamper for Mr. Price, half the price. You need to click here. You need to go there. These things cost what? The video looks so realistic.
Yeah.
No, those are scams. Those are fraudulent activities. Do not click on such links. It's going to ask for your card. It looks legitimate. Next thing you see, money is going off. Money keeps going off. And then you're wondering, but I didn't do anything. So be very, very cautious on social media. Don't click on links. Don't trust everything that you see. Verify first before you can do anything, because it might cost you in the end.
Okay. Theo, thank you so much for making time for us right here on the F&B segment.
You are very much welcome. And to our listeners and clients, once again, the number is 061-299-2222. We are always available to assist you. Please do not provide your information to anyone, regardless of the story, regardless of the amount or the reward. Rather call the bank.
Okay. And I hope that's clear to you clients and customers of F&B Namibia. And now we pause here and actually take the mic back to Ondangwa Studios to Michael Chiavelli as he continues to bring you Unpacking the Day from Indafa Happy Juju. It is goodbye.
This has been the F&B segment, proudly brought to you by F&B Namibia. Catch the F&B segment every Monday from 7:45.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye. Why do you seem so worried?
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news?
I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM is dedicated.
Titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer a comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have a capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have a capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Well, thank you. Welcome back. Welcome back. Our time is 2 minutes past 8. And thank you, Juju and Theo, for always and the F&B Namibia. For always making sure that they give us those tips and warning how to make sure that our money don't leave our wallet illegally, you know? Yeah, so thank you for that. That was our F&B Namibia segment, and looking forward what you can expect in the show today or this morning. We will be examining some punches thrown by the president, President Natumbo Nandi Ndaitwa, when she was addressing the public servant. And also looking at one of the articles pitching Namibia's to South African investors. So, but you know what we do here. But there are two sides of the coin. So we're going to look at, we will examine that as well. And also, if we have time, we're going to look at Namibia physical risk, which is actually coming from the Africa Development Report, focusing on specifically on Namibia. And if we have time, we're going to look at that as well. Please welcome and stay tuned after this. So we will then dive into it.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Great news. Impact just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of IMBA? Get all exclusive features for just $36 Namibian a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything IMBA has to offer at an unbeatable price. IMBA. where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
My friend.
Very good morning to you. If you just are joining us at this point in time, and welcome to Unpacking the Day, where we cut through the noise to get to the heart of the matter. So this morning, I want us to look at the powerful address, by President Netumbo Naidoo, the address that she gave to the country's public last Friday. Because when you listen to that address, on the surface, it was a thank you. You know, it was a thank you to the public servants, to the country's public servants. But if you listen closely, really, really listen, I think it was a couple of things. It was a plea, it was a warning, a direct challenge as well. So it was the president drawing a line. As they said, you draw a line in the sand. I think it was the president really drawing the line, a line in the sand. So on July 18, 2025, at Nipat in Windhoek, President Nandi Ndaitwa made history. So she made history, you know, and it was her first ever address to public servants as a president. She spoke to ministers, senior officials, and even head state of state-owned enterprises. So, well, the room was packed, and of course, you have those who, maybe you and me, were watching on the TV, and thousands tuned in online as well. So, now she praised public servant, but she also didn't hold back on the really, really, really tough stuff or tough issues. So she raised some critical issues that hit hard, really, especially for those, you know, struggling to get by. So now let's get into some of the statement she made and see what it means for service delivery, especially to the people who need it most. So the first thing, the president actually started with a praise. The praise, she called public servant as an indispensable national resources and the engine of state administration. Let's hear what the president has to say.
You, the public servants and the technocrats, are an indispensable national resource. You are a national resource. You are a resource to each and every Namibian. You are the most vital component of the machinery that keeps the wheels of the government turning. If you were not there, the government would not be there. You are the gears of the engine of state administration. You are the bridge between policies and the people, between vision and the reality. We can have visions, but if you are not there to put those visions in reality, it is just as if there is nothing. Without your active ethical and capable participation, government cannot function effectively, nor will it deliver the required services to the nation. That's why I am thanking you not only for your presence here today, but your decision to serve the Namibian people.
Well, your decision to serve the Namibian people. Now, this is smart. I'm telling you why. This is smart. You know what we have learned when you, what you learn when you're giving criticism? What do they say? You know, you sandwich, you start with the positives, and then in the middle there, you put now your criticism, your negative ones, you put it there in the middle, and then you sandwich your negative with positive and positive, you see? And that's what the president actually done very cleverly, you know? This is smart. Now, it is a spoonful of sugar. It's a spoonful of sugar before the medicine, you know? Before the medicine. So, now, she is reminding them of their importance, which is very important, which they are. She's reminding of their importance, which the civils, I mean, which the public servant is who they are. They are very, very, very important. And that's, and that's very, very important. Yeah. So, but let's be real. For the average Namibian waiting in a queue at Home Affairs or trying to get a document processed, does it feel like the engine is running smoothly? Does it really feel that the engine is running smoothly? Well, the president says they are the bridge between policies and people. But for many, that bridge seemed to be out. That bridge is no longer there. So this praise isn't just a pat on the back. In my opinion, it's not just a pat on the back. It's a reminder of a standard that is not actually met, that is not being met at all, you know. And then she got to the heart of our national stability. And she said, and I quote, "Social and economic insecurity are the breeding centers for the disturbance of peace and security," unquote. Social and economic insecurity are the breeding, you know, centers for the disturbance of peace and insecurity. Now, let's pause on that a little bit, because this is very, very, very important. The president connecting here, the president is really connecting the dots in public. He's really connecting the dot in public. She's saying that a young person without a job, a family without enough food, a community without clean water, these are not just social problems. So she said, these are not just social problems. They are national security threat. That is exactly what that's why I said she's connecting those dots, that this, when young people without job, when you have a family who have no food, when you have a community that have no water and all this, these are not just social problems. These are national security threats. And she's trying, and she's tying the performance of every government office. Now, she's tying every government office directly to the peace we all cherish now. And if you listen to her, she went on to say, look, you know, if there are people without food, if there are young people without education, without jobs and community, without, you know, the basic water, sanitation, and all that. So that actually tie to the peace that we enjoy. And the message is very clear. When you fail to deliver service, you are not just creating, you are not just creating inconvenience. You are chipping away at the very foundation of our nation's peace. So that's exactly the message, that you are actually chipping away at that very foundation. the foundation of our nation peace. And I hope, you know, the public servant got the message. And this led now to her big plea. That's why, as earlier I was saying, it's a mixture of, you know, of it was a thank you, it's a plea, it's a warning, it's a challenge. So it was a mixture of things. And then she, you know, this led to her big plea, an urgent plea, as she called it. She want a basic needs and service excellence approach. And she listed them. So that's water, that's food, that's healthcare, that job, that justice. Water, food, healthcare, job, justice. Now, when you think, haven't we had this before? Haven't we? You know? But the tone was different this time. This is my take, my perceptions and my feeling when I was listening to her. The tone was a little bit different. So I felt less like a political promise and more like an admission of failure. Not necessarily her being like, her failed, but that the government, the public servant, you know, the public servant. So it's more like admission of really of a failure. She said, the government must not fail those it has sworn to serve. And that's a very important, I quote, the government must not fail those it has sworn to serve. That's a very strong, what it means that the government, the people, the public servant must understand that. The government has actually made, it has a contract with the people. The government, the Swapo government, for example, because they have been elected by the people, has a contract with the people. And you as a public servant, you swear to serve. Because they have a responsibility to fulfill. And when you don't, you know, you actually, you're not living up to that promises that they have made. So, and that's a powerful statement. It's a powerful statement. It acknowledged that in many areas, the government is failing. When she say things like, we are too few to be poor, when she say we are too few to be poor, she is actually voicing the frustration of every Namibian feels when they look at our country's wealth and then look at the poverty in our community. She's essentially asking, how is this possible? How is this possible? That's why we are too few to be poor. As I said, she is voicing that frustration. We all have those frustrations. Every Namibian feel when they look at how rich is our country is, how wealthy is our country, and then look at the poverty in our communities. So, and let's hear. And then, where now the glove, you know, the glove, when you said the glass off, the gloves are off now. You know, that's why I said, you know, she's sandwich. She's very well, you know, the speech was really well organized. You know, you start with all this, you know, congratulations, doing well, and then the gloves are off now, okay? Now, she looked at the public servants and basically asked them to look into the mirror. Look in the mirror. Listen to this.
If you see citizens as a burden when they come to your office with problems, and if you believe your office is a space for your personal comfort zone, for enrichment, or side business, then I can tell you are in the wrong place. You are in the wrong place. You are there volunteering your service in the best interest of the people of this country. And if you are in the wrong place, you must therefore ask yourself, why are you in the public service? Why can't you create space for those who are ready to serve the public? They are there who are ready to serve the public. And I'm sure you, the majority of you, you are ready to serve the public. We have heard the complaints of poor service, inaccessibility, and the rude officials. And I'm sure we must also have experienced it. It's only not that you heard, we heard, but we experienced it, which is very unfortunate. This is not how the servants of the people must serve the people.
Well, if you do not have passion for the people, if you see citizen as a burden, then you are at the wrong place. I must therefore ask you, why are you in the public service? Create space for those who are ready to serve. Wow. Just wow. This is the president giving voice to every citizen who has been met with a rude official, the door are closed in their face, and endless delays. This is the voice to every citizen who has been experiencing all this. She is challenging the culture of entitlement that has crept into our public service. She's saying this is not a job for life if you are not doing the job. Yeah? It is a direct shot at those who are just collecting, as they call, you know, salary. So it's actually a direct shot to those who are just collecting. If you are not, get out. But, well, what is the thought of the day today? Those are in the privilege. They don't just get out. They don't just relinquish those privilege. You need to push them out. So that's what we would expect from the president as well. It's not just talk. Hopefully that there are those who are not doing the work, then get them out. So they need to be pushed out. So, but then came the hard numbers, all right? The reality check. So the public service wage bill is over 35 billion. Over 35 billion for about 100,000 employees. Well, she was saying 1,000. And then she was corrected. So for 100,000 employees, she called this unsustainable. She said it is unsustainable. Let's hear what she has to say.
Director of Ceremonies, we know we are working under fiscal constraint. The public service wage bill stands at over 35 billion, saving over 1,000 employees. 100,000 employees. Thank you for your correction. I'm happy we are all listening. And with this, how are we assisting others who are not in the similar situation? this situation is unsustainable because we must create a balance from what we are spending on ourselves and what is the outcome. As such, we must therefore prudently utilize the scarce resources at our disposal by applying a concept of achieving more with less. So we really need to do so. The wastage is a reality, comrades, fellow Namibians, fellow civil servants. Let us avoid the wastage. How much you spend in your office on overtime? And is those overtimes really warranted? Do we really follow the procedures? Are we really saying they should always overtimes? That the time from 8 to 1, lunch break, 2 to 5, is not enough that we have regular overtimes? I wonder if we are always having work behind that overtimes must be approved. We must really exercise a highest physical discipline, aiming at achieving efficiency and effective objectives for the benefit of our people.
Well, this is the elephant in the room, really. As they said, this is the elephant in the room. The money is running out. The money is running out. This 35 billion is money that can't be spent on medicine, can't be spent on school books, can't be spent on roads, can't be spent on infrastructure, you know. So when she talks about achieving more with less, it is not just a buzzword, you know. I think sometimes this tend to become just like a buzzword. So it is a necessity. It is a necessity. And I think everybody see this as serious. It is a necessity. She's telling the public servant that the delays So she's actually telling the public servants that the days of unlimited budget and guaranteed job are over. That's what the message is. But it just the question is, hopefully, she actually, you know, walk the talk. So the economic reality has hit home. Those days are gone. So, and let's see if then she walk the talk. And then there was an ultimatum also. The president talked about change wagon, you know, that is already moving. So, and she said, if you are ready, quote unquote, if you are ready to be part of this transformation, you're welcome. You're welcome on board. If not, you must reevaluate your purpose. She promised consequences for non-performance. Let's hear what the president has to say herself.
Essential change is needed in mindset and behavior. This change wagon is already underway. The objectives are very clear in our NDP6 strategic plans and annual plans, as well as in your performance agreement. We do not have time to waste, dear colleagues. We must move with the wagon swiftly and with a purpose. If you are ready to be part of this transformation, you are welcome on board. We are for transformation, very serious transformation, very serious work. And those of you who are ready, you are welcome on board. If not, you must reevaluate your purpose in the public service and maybe tell us to stop at the next station and say goodbye to us. And in the next station, we'll be able to pick up those who want to be part of the transformation. There will be no business as usual. And I want everyone to make this your inner decision, colleagues. Don't be forced. Don't be forced. Do something that you like. If you don't like it, you are just doing it for a job, it is too bad. There are consequences of non-performance and non-effective service delivery. We are also reviewing our laws and see which laws will help us better in this economic transformation in our country.
We have had no business as usual. Okay, before, we have had that before. But coupling it with direct threat of consequences, you know, and telling people to get off the wagon if they aren't ready to pull their weight, it feels a little bit different. It really feels a little bit different. The tone, as I said, the tone, really, the genuineness in the tone of the president and the seriousness from her voice, from what she, and if you were looking at her, you see that genuineness and really the seriousness in what she's saying. So, to top it all off, so I don't know which one comes first, all off or off all. So, she called corruption a tantamount to treason. I think she did that before. Treason, that is not just theft, that is betraying your country. She's trying to reframe corruption, not as a white collar crime, you know, but as an attack on the soul of Namibia. So let's hear what the president say about corruption. Here she is.
Against that backdrop, I urge you to remain vigilant for us to serve our people better, to ensure that there is no resource wastage. And we must remain vigilant against corruption in all its forms by understanding it as is a tantamount to treason. And I'll keep explaining this, because if corruption becomes a norm, you frustrate the population, one day they can say enough is enough. They'll go in the street. I don't know, it will be a lot of work for the service chiefs, but the population, they are the power. And that's how treason comes in. Because now you are doing it to instigate the population to overthrow the government. And that's how treason comes in. So, we must understand when I say, I learned it in Tanzania from my mentor, and he was right. Because anything you are doing to instigate the population to go against the government, you want the government to overthrow, and overthrowing the government is a treason. So therefore, we must safeguard against that. Let us protect public resources as if they are our own. In any case, they are our own.
Well, you just hope that everybody thinks in that way. And think about it. $1 million sifted off. It could have been, used for boreholes or water points in Ohangwena, or books for a school in Rundu. The poor lose out when funds vanished. She is demanding vigilance, but it's got to be more than words. We need action. Punish the crooks. Eh? And also, maybe the whole question of protect the whistleblowers as well. So for us to be able to be vigilant, that component has to be very strong. They protect also the whistleblowers so that people can be able, willingly be able to, you know, to report corruptions. So trust is on the line here. Trust is on the line. If the marginalized see corruption win, if they see the corruption win, they give up on the system. They honestly give up on the system. And that is tragic. It's really tragedy we can't afford. That's a tragedy we can't afford. So, now, what is the takeaway? what is the takeaway here? So, the president's speech was a carefully crafted message. For me, I felt that it was a really, really carefully crafted message. It was a final warning shot. She's putting the entire public service on notice. So she's putting on notice. She's telling them the excuses are over. Okay? The excuses are over. The people are watching. I am watching. Shape up or ship out. I'm here for it. And I'm really, really here for it. So, now, she reminded us. She reminded us, and quote unquote, public service may not bring you material wealth, but it offers something more profound. So it offers something more profound. For the poorest Namibia, every interaction with the government shapes their lives. It shapes their lives. For you who are a public servant, it may, as I said, it may not bring you material wealth, but for the very poorest Namibian, every interaction with the government, it does actually shape their life. A timely pension payment can pay a school fees, for example. If that old lady doesn't get that, you know, they would definitely, will have nothing to eat at home. Sometimes this area is left without giving a timely pension, and then it takes almost a month to come back again. A quick health referral can save a child. Service delivery is not an abstract policy. It's not an abstract policy. It is a human stories. It's honestly a human stories. So what we can look ahead today also, what we can look ahead for today is also the president launches an NDP 6. I think that's what she said also on Friday. She said she will launch the NDP 6 on the 21st of July, 2025. This is the blueprint now aims to lift youth and women, but blueprint remain paper without follow through. It has to be followed through to be effective. Yeah. She will also give account of the administration 3 months since taking office on the 21st of March, 2025. That will happen today. I'm not too sure when exactly, but that was also a promise. So our challenge as listeners and citizens, what is our challenge? Hold public servant to the president's vision. We have heard the president's vision. And that's why we also bring you this out. We outline this to you. So hold public servant to the president's vision. Demand performance. Well, you must also celebrate success. If they are success, let's celebrate those wins. And also question the failure. Eh? We must also question the failure. As Namibian, we got a role too. We have a role to play as well. Demand better. Speak up. Because a nation's only as strong as its weakness, as its weakest link. So someone said that. Actually, it's not my quote. I think someone said a nation is only as strong as its weakest link. So we got the role to. We got to demand better. We got to speak up, you know? So, and here is my question. Here's my question to you. How do we make sure these words of the president turn into action for every Namibian? So you're most welcome to come through now. And, well, what is your take? What was your take of the president's address of public servants? So anything that you picked up that resonate maybe with what is happening in your community, in your town, anything that you really strongly believe that the president have, or that the president actually failed maybe to talk about when addressing the public's servants. Our telephone number is 08333-66091, 08333-66091. So you're welcome now to come through and your opinion or react to the press, to some of this statement that we didn't take the whole president's, some of the statement that I felt are really, really, really need to be, you know, emphasized and looked at again today. So come through. Our time is about 41 minutes past the hour of 8. We're here until 9:30, and we still plenty, plenty of time for you to come through and share your view. We come back after this.
Great news. Impa just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud. So
not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6%. 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. Mm. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past. Mm. And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM.
Omudiha would take it off a guna, e matina omjo. She goes a fast and anana, longish fa, ya, she became a e moyao, or tain bongotisa mweni. Anagish fa, ya Namibia, on bitom banawa, or jika. Say sanina, omeguro, nidanitoma, yue, youngish fa, yokupira, mo, ikelefem, media house. Goi 22 memeha, u kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki, we mopo, yo mo programa de tu.
Every year, someone turns 18 years old. For all Namibian citizens who have just turned 18 years, now is your time to begin your voting journey. Just take the first and most important step to register as a voter. The supplementary registration of voters will take place from the 4th until the 19th of August 2025. This voter registration process will allow you to vote in the 2025 regional councils and local authority elections. Get involved. Step up for your right. Register to vote.
Welcome back. And our time is about 45 minutes past the hour of 8. And if you're just joining us, if this is your first time and you're just scrolling and then you happen to be here, this is Eagle FM. This is your number one talk radio station in the land. And you're tuning in to Unpacking the Day. My name is Michael Chiavelli, and I'm here until 9:30. So we're just talking. We were looking at the punches the president have thrown. You know, as I said, this was really crafted. You know, it was really, really well crafted. And I think this is what needed to be said. It was needed to be said. And there are a lot of really, really, I think the public servant need to look at themselves and examine their conscience, as the president have said, you know. Look at the people. If you have this comfortable life, you have a job, even when during tough times, you always have the job while others really are suffering, you know. And when you pass, as he said, when you pass through there and you see people actually, and you see these people, some people actually eating through the dumps. So, and you have the government making sure that you are fed. You have a room to sleep, I mean, a shelter and a roof, you know, and others are not. She says she doesn't sleep. So how do you sleep? And this is all what you need. You just need to do your job. All what you need is just to, if you could be able to do your job, everybody would be able, you know, to live well in this country. As you said, we are too few to be poor. So what is your take? I don't want to go through that again. And, you know, so what is your take? What is your opinion? So what do you think? So maybe you were listening last week, or you could, you know, just highlight those aspects that I felt that were very, 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 very important to highlight and understand and go deep a little bit into it. Yeah. What is your take? What is your opinion on that? You're most welcome to come through and have your say. Of what the president have so far. Now, if while you're coming through, you can come through anytime now, whatever I'm talking. So you are welcome to come through and just comment on whatever you want to. All right. So yes, welcome to Unpick the Day. So we are live, from Ondangwa, studio. Well, wherever you are, grab your coffee, your tea, your herbal, if you saw there are those who do herbal. So, yeah. So, and now we got something to talk about. Okay. This is an interesting article. And I want to look at this on a different, in a different way. All right. It's an interesting article. Just dropped. It's written for South African investors. It's actually written for South African investors. All right. And it paints a very, 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 which is a good thing. Paint a very, very, very pretty picture of our country. So it does. And the headline, it's entitled Namibia, a frontier economy with strategic appeal. You can just see from the headline. So a frontier economy with a strategic appeal. So, and in the article, they are full of those buzzwords like frontier opportunity, strategic importance, green energy pivot, you know, those buzzwords. Now, sounds great. So, and it sounds like Namibia is on the verge of a boom, you know, as they call it. So, but my job here on Unpacking the Day is to look beyond the headlines. We look beyond the headlines and also to read between the lines. That's what we do, all right? So let's unpack this. Let's talk about the two Namibias from this article. The two Namibias this article reveals. The one of investors and my one, the rest of us living in. And the one we all live in. Now, all right. First is the good news, okay? This is more like investors' pitch. As it's someone pitching for investors. The article is written by economist Casey Sprackle. So says our economy is growing, all right? It mentioned 3.7 growth. 3.7% growth last year. And also a decent outlook for this year, 2025. So it points to a recovery of agriculture after that terrible drought, 2023-2024 financial year, so which is good. So we needed that. And it also highlights our uranium sector, which is booming because the world is looking at nuclear power again. So yeah, that said, this is which is going on now. So, and then it gets to the big ticket items. What are our two big ticket items? Yeah. What are those two big ticket items? The two giants in the rooms. We know those two giants in the room in Namibia, oil and gas, green hydrogen. So it gets to that as well. So, on oil, it's a mixed bag, you know, when you read it, it's a mixed bag. The article notes that Shell wrote off the $400 million in investment because, as we know, we all know, the discovery wasn't commercially viable, okay? Well, but it quickly pivoted that, saying that Total Energies is still actually pushing ahead with its Venus discovery, and we might see first oil by 2030, okay? And that's a big promise. So the potential game changer for our national budget. So then there's green hydrogen, the Hyphen project, you know, the Hyphen project, a U.S. $10 billion U.S. dollars investment. Then you have the high iron project already producing its first green iron. So it's already actually, in producing. So the article says we are perfectly positioned with our sun and wind to be global leaders. All right. So, and it tops it all with a praise for our infrastructure, our world-class roads, the Wavish Bay port, and our political stability. Now, for For South Africa, I mean, for South African investors, well, it sounds perfect. It really sounds perfect when you read that article. So the Namibian dollar, also, when you think of the Namibian dollar is pegged to the rand. So, no currency risk. You understand? For South African investors. So you can take your profit home, without any quibbles, you know? It's a stable, predictable, potentially very profitable place to park your money. So this is a very, 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 very potentially profitable place if you're a South African investor here to park your money here in the land of the brave. So now, let's pause there. So I'm just giving over. I just gave you the pitch. That was the brochure now. That was the PowerPoint presentation for investors in Sandton, South Africa. You know, Sandton is one of the richest suburbs in Pretoria. Yeah, is it Pretoria or Johannesburg? All right. So between Pretoria and Johannesburg. All right. So that was the brochure, the PowerPoint presentation. Okay? Now, but what about the reality on the ground in Windhoek, in Ondangwa, in Oshakati, in Kietmanshoop, in Katima Mulilo? Now, the article buries this part deep in the text, almost as an afterthought. You understand? It mentioned, and I quote, structural issues such as high unemployment, 27 to 33%, and inequality, you know, our G coffee since 59, remain unresolved. It was like, you know, it's an afterthought. Well, it just, and it's a structural issues. It's a structural issues. Now, and let's not just glance over that. Let's not just glance over that. A Gini coefficient of 59 means we are one of the most unequal society on planet Earth. That's what it means. Unequal society on planet Earth. We're second in the world. So as I said, we must not just really glance over that. Higher unemployment is not just a structural issue. It's not just a structural issue. Eh? It's not a structural issue on a spreadsheet. It is our young people, our youth, sitting on the street corners with degrees and no prospect. So it is families struggling to put food on the table. And this is what the president was talking about. And here's my first question. Now, I'm not being cynical. I'm just really asking. So how does the $10 billion green hydrogen project exporting green ammonia to Europe and Japan directly benefiting a young unemployed graduate in Katutura, in Ohangwena, in Otapi? Well, that's a fair question. How does the $10 billion green hydrogen project exporting, this is now exporting green ammonia to Europe and Japan? Well, you can say, well, there are those who are employed. I'm talking now directly benefiting a young unemployed graduate sitting in Katutura right now, or in Otapi, or in somewhere in Carlsberg, eh? So when will that frontier potential, because that's how, you know, put it, when would that frontier potential trickle down? When would it trickle down? So we have heard the trickle down stories before. We haven't, you know, so for decades. The reality is, it is often flood the pocket of a few, while the rest of us actually get the dust. We are left in the dust. So that's, it's one thing when it missed that. I'm critic that article, it missed something. The pitch is okay. And sometimes we found that with what we do, there's also other people that are, we have people who are pitching that. So, and this brings me to the most telling part of this whole article. The part we really need to talk about. And we will do that after this commercial break. And we will be back. Stay tuned.
When you choose UNAM,
you get credible accreditations.
You get internationally recognized qualifications.
You get a university with a growing reputation.
When you choose UNAM,
you get a head start on local jobs.
You become connected in a growing Namibia.
You stay in the best country in the world.
Because you already know you love it here.
Open your mind to UNAM.
And UNAM will open the world to you.
UNAM is your university, Namibia.
Because the U in UNAM is you.
The U in UNAM is you. For some reason, that's always, you know, trickle me, you know? Yeah. So now we're talking about this frontier potential, you know, we're talking about these articles. And I'm asking, when would that actually trickle down? And we have heard these trickle down stories before, haven't we? For years. The reality is, it's often flood the pocket. As I said, it's always flood the pocket of the foreign investors. So while the rest of us, as I said, collecting dust. So now, as I said, it brings us to the most telling part of the whole article and the part we really need to talk about. Now, Namibia was recently reclassified by the World Bank. We were downgraded from upper middle income country to a lower middle income country. Now, you would think this is a bad news, right? An admission that our people are, on average, poorer, you know? But the article also says some of our own policymakers see this as a strategic advantage. But I had, who did I have here? Was it Molly? Liku Kela? I think it was Molly. We talked about, you know, or Mr. Shade. No, it was not Molly. It was Shade, Klaus Shade, I think. Yeah. So, yeah, it was Klaus Shade. So we talked about this. So the article is saying some of our policymakers see this as a strategic advantage. Can you believe that? You know, can you believe it? So now their logic, when you think about this, just think the logic behind this. So their logic is that being poorer on paper means we can now get cheaper loans and grants and aid. You understand? So that's what, if we are poor on paper, you know, so if we are poorer, you know, so we will be able to get to get cheaper loans and grant and aid. And I think there's also an article in the Namibian, I think, was it Namibian? I can't which whether Namibian or was by a former minister. One must read that, former minister of trade, Toma Randolph. So very interesting one. So about being what is the word I'm looking, being downgraded, you know. So read that. So, and let's be brutal. Eh? Let's be brutal honest here. Is our national strategy now, is our national strategy to get poorer so we can ask for more handouts? Is that our now strategy? Is that we should be get poorer, you know, we must be poorer so that now we can ask more handouts, isn't it? Is that now our national strategy? And the author of the article, to her credit, I think calls this out as well. To her credit, she called this out. She say, this thinking, quote unquote, a risk masking a deeper structural problems, unquote. And she's right. She is absolutely right. Industrialization, real sustainable development is not built on pity. And we want people to pity us. It's not built on concessional loans that come with strings attached all the time and telling us what to prioritize, because that's always the case. It's not. So it's built on what she called, quote unquote, economic sovereignty, unquote. So it's built by us, for us. It comes from investing in our own people, our own education, our own businesses. So relying on donor funding is like building a house on sand. The moment the eight priorities shift, our house collapses. And that's what most of African countries now are suffering from. Because for years we have been relying on AIDS. And I can give, for example, as I said, I was telling somebody, was it Mantume? I said, look, our probably 95% of our budget, of the funds that were running the communicable disease, if we're talking about the malaria, the HIV AIDS and the TBs, was actually funded by the American or by the Global Fund and the PEPFAR and all that. So, well, we, the government, of course, probably find a way to still actually maintain this, but 95% of that was actually budgeted by that. So we have essential services that actually supported by aid, and we have been relying on that. And many African countries are suffering now because of that. So you build your house on sand. And think about it. Think about it. Article praises our, the other thing is that the article praises our class, road, our world class roads. Fantastic. And we do that as well. We praise our road as well. And we take pride into that. Sure. Linking to the article, I'm just looking at, they are great. This, when we said they are, this is great. Now, I'm linking to this article that they are great for getting uranium from the mine to the port. So our roads are great actually getting uranium, you know, from getting uranium from the mine to the port. They are great for getting good from South Africa to ourselves, to the shelves in our stores. But is the road from a village in Zambezi to the nearest decent hospital just as good? Eh? Are they just as good? The road, eh? From Okangwati or wherever, somewhere, to a decent school or to a decent hospital. Is it just as good? It's not. But the road from the mine to the port is actually good. The road to to get good from South Africa to come to ourselves. It's good. Do you see that? Is the infrastructure serving the people, or is it primarily? Ask, this is a genuine question. This I said earlier on, we must ask questions. Is the infrastructure serving the people, or is it primarily serving the flow of capital? The flow of capital and resources out of the country. So much of the infrastructures is actually serving the flow of capital and resources out of the country. They're good road to the port. We have a nice port, you know. They're good road for food to come, for goods to come from South Africa and put on our shelves. But the road to a clinic in the village, it's not good. The road to the school, and how many times when the flood comes, certain schools have to stop, education have to stop. Eh? Because there are no bridge. This is guys, we need to woke up. That's why we're trying to bring. We need to woke up. We need to wake up. Eh? So when I read an article like this, right, I see a dangerous connection. I mean, not a dangerous connection, a dangerous disconnection. A story of a frontier economy that sounds exciting for foreign investors, but one that feels very, very, very distant for the majority of Namibians. So the potential is there. That's true. The oil and the green hydrogen and the strategic locations, it's all real. They're all real. These are all real. But potential doesn't pay the bills. Potential doesn't pay the bills. Potential, it doesn't create widespread employment on its own. So the real challenge for Namibia in 2025 and beyond, it's not attracting that investment. It's about managing it. It's about ensuring that the deals we sign benefit the many, not just the few. So it's about building the economy, an economy where young Namibian has a better chance of getting a job in a green hydrogen plant than a foreign investor has of getting a tax break, because that's more likely to happen than the other way around. So we need to close the gap between the Namibia's sold in investor brochures. So the Namibia that is sold in investor, when we look, when you read that this article, it's a very good article. So, and the Namibia we live in every single day. So we need to bridge that gap. We need to close that gap. Because until we do, we will remain a country of frontier potential and not one of shared prosperity. It's okay? We want to be a country of shared prosperity.
Eagle FM, welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, good morning, Mr. Oshavedi.
Good morning, Uncle Bona. How are you?
Fine, thank you. How are you too?
We okay. I'm always fine. I'm always okay.
No, we must really thank God for our well-being.
Yeah, definitely.
Yes. I listened to His Excellency Dr. Netumbo Ndaitwah.
Yeah.
The President, I think her message is very clear.
Yeah.
It need to be appreciated. Because, you see, that social contract that the president is talking about is very crucial.
Yeah.
That social contract. And if it's a social contract, it means it has got two parts. So ourselves, the government, all the stygians, need to make sure that they appreciate that contract.
Mm-hmm.
So because we also forget sometimes that, yes, and sometimes, like we are reminded, the civil servants and all the only the staging, maybe all the staging that were left, those who are not civil servants, but we all have to, a take in that social contract.
Yeah.
And our responsibility now, of course, is to demand effective and efficient service from the public servants.
Mm.
And in fact, even the companies, because most of this corruption that are happening are really happening in state-owned enterprise.
Yeah. Mm.
Yes. Thank you. So, and like she said, ethical conduct.
Uncle Bono, can you just hold on for a second? We will have a commercial quickly. Yeah, then we can come back.
Okay. Mm.
The Electoral Commission of Namibia provides an opportunity for all eligible voters who did not register in the previous voter registration process. The supplementary registration of voters will take place from the 4th until the 19th of August 2025. This will allow all eligible Namibian citizens to participate in the 2025 Regional Council and Local Authority elections. If you are an 18 years or older Namibian citizen without a valid voter's card, and if you are able to identify yourself, then don't miss this opportunity to register as a voter. Democracy thrives through participation. Get involved, step up, and register to vote.
All right, go ahead.
Yes, so what I was saying, I was just trying also to emphasize on that point that she talks about on social contract.
Yeah.
But many a times, maybe, I don't know whether it's lack of awareness, whatever, people who just see involved in those unethical conduct.
Yeah.
Perhaps it's because, is it ignorance of the...
No, it's greedy. It's greedy.
It's greedy, actually. You are right.
Yeah.
It's greedy. Now you become so greedy and you even forget that you are saving the people.
Yeah.
Like some of these vehicles that I'm seeing on the newspaper now, the oil and all this other thing, the bribe of 3 point something million.
Yeah.
It was in the newspaper. I hope you are not going to be criticized, because I remember one of the lawyer was saying, the media. So this one has come into it. But the people are really tired. And those things, they fuel social and they threaten our security,
yeah,
our peace.
Exactly.
Like you say.
Yeah.
So please, let's really, those people should really be dealt with.
Yeah.
I don't know whether even people are now fighting for them to get to bail. I haven't been updated for those things. But when you look at these things, it's really disturbing.
Mm.
So is it not maybe for their own protection when if they get a bail now, will they really be secured?
Well, but we still have to, as I said, we still have to obey the law. We still have to follow. They are innocent until they're proven guilty. So,
I understand that issue, but now who will then know that they are not guilty or guilty until they are proven they went through the court proceedings?
Yeah.
And sometimes some of those ones, I know the state has to protect itself because they can also commit suicide. Now that the one that has run away now, who now, what tells us now that the others, if they are given bail, they will not run away? Or
yeah,
they will not engage into some kind of conduct, and the state will be held reliable for those kind of things.
Yeah.
So please, let's preach more of this ethics, and so that people might also, maybe they put off their greediness.
Yeah.
But it's really disturbing, like the president is saying, that it can threaten the peace and security of the country.
Definitely, yeah.
So thank you very much, Mike.
No, thank you for coming through this morning.
Good.
Great. 18 minutes past the hour of 9. And so we go until 8:30. So you still actually few minutes. You still about 12 minutes for you to come through. React to any stories that we brought you this morning. So 083-366-091, 08-0833-66-091. So do come through
and have your opinion, have your reaction, you are most welcome. And this is your platform to do that. All right? So, yeah, I was just looking at that article, and as I said, we need to close that gap between this Namibia that have been sold in investors' brochures. Yeah, and Namibia we live in every single day. Because until we do, we remain that country, the country of frontier potential, as the article put it, and not one of shared prosperity. We need to be that. So, yeah, so if you want to react to that as well, plus you're most welcome. And our telephone number again, it's always 333-66-091.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna ii matina omjo. Chikao shafa sana na nonge shifa ya eshiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao ota ingongo tisamwene. Anange shifa ya Namibia ombito ombwa na wa olonjika. Seitha nina omayakudo ni randitoma yoe yonge shifa yoe okupikira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimepo yomo programa betu. Moambo dengira selma konara hita tuimu. Datu ndatu heari hamano tano o liyaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Welcome back. And our time is about 21 minutes past the hour of 9. Yeah, maybe these hours that are left, let me just run through our sister paper is on today. So the headlines that we found in the Villager, and as we always said, please do subscribe. Or what you need to do is just send you a WhatsApp message with your name and your email address at 081-200-4144. So, and this is for free. What you do that this is you, and then you will get your digital copy, every Monday. The Village is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So make sure that you get your copy on every, and you, as I said, this is for free. It's absolutely, for free. All right. So, the headlines, the stories that make headlines in today's edition of The Villager. So, garlic grower targeting a commercial success. So, Inonge Mutwa, a dedicated farmer who has conducted extensive research on garlic cultivations and completed various courses to enhance her expertise, has the ambition actually to become Namibia's first commercial garlic producer on a national scale. That will be welcome, because then garlic is the most expensive. Is it a vegetables? It's one of the most expensive, actually. You know, that's why not many people actually use garlic, because it's quite expensive. I can tell you that. So if we then start to produce this in a country, that would be great. And that would also bring the price down. And it's one of the vegetables that's very good for, for many things, for in terms of your health. So yeah, that's good news. If she can be able to do that, on a national scale, that would be definitely a good thing. So the other story is the M23, you know, where the M23 is. We're not talking about the road. What is those? The M, the C, the B, the what of the road. No, this is M23, the DRC. In DRC, the rebels, okay? So the M23 and DRC government restore peace after years of destruction, got destructive conflict. The Democratic Republic of Congo and the rebel group, March 23 movement, the M23, that's why they are called M23, have signed a ceasefire. They have signed a ceasefire agreement in Doha, in Qatar, on the 19th of July, 2025. So, if you want to know all the details, do please get yourself the villager and be able to read the stories for yourself. All right, and other stories that you can get in today is that the Omtatah governor to prioritize infrastructure and food security. So that's what the governor said. Just 36% of Namibians align with political parties. Survey reveal declining affiliations with political parties across Africa. That's a very interesting one, really. So it says an increasing gap between political parties and African citizens is jeopardizing democratic participation. And Namibia is reflecting the continent-wide trend. We also, as Namibia, we're also reflecting that trend. That is the stark warning that comes out of Afrobarometer's newest flagship report. So, which reveals that political parties throughout Africa are having a difficult time winning the trust, support, and participation of the very people they purport to present, to represent. So, I think this is for the political party. You have to look yourself into the mirror and saying, and look at what is that we are doing. Or what is that we are not doing? Maybe it's not what you're doing. Maybe it's what you're not doing that across Africa, parties throughout Africa now are having a difficult time winning the trust, the support, and the participation of the people that they claim to, you know, to represent. So make sure that you buy if you're a political party, you should be running by, not buying, sorry. If you're a political party, you must be quick, you know, to subscribe now. And if you want to find out what are the other reasons, what is the survey saying? Because there's a survey of about 39,000 people who took place in the survey. That's across 39 African countries. So, yeah. And so that's what is the other stories that you can look forward to? Yeah, basically those, there are many other more stories that you can find in today's edition of the Villager, and make sure that you subscribe and get yourself a free copy of the Villager. So, and good morning. If you just actually joining us, you know, you're almost late. No, kushi kulonga. Kushi kulonga ngopototu joining up ife kushi kulonga nande ike. Walata. So you remember that advertisement of when it was HIV, when HIV was coming, was just coming, you know, when this guy, I have to go to the shop to get the condom. Yeah, to get the condom. And when people coming in the shop, he want to buy, he asking, can you give me a pack of biscuit? And here the lady still waiting. Why are you taking so long? Eh? So the other people, can you give me another pack of condom, please? Yeah. Another one, a pack of condom. And then the other guy, an older man actually comes in and said, hey, I want the whole box of condoms. I think, why am I so stupid? It was a funny one. Actually, it was good. Actually. And then he started driving, very good. He get home, the lady was going, hey, walata. You know, so if you're just joining us now, you also, yeah, you are walata. So you are very late and we are packing up. So, but we're not gone forever. So we will do this again tomorrow. At the same time, from 7:30 to 9:30, make sure that you book your seat and you have your coffee well served. And let's do it again tomorrow on the same station here on Eagle FM. So my name is Mike Oshoveli, and I wish you a good listening to other shows that are coming up. And, well, as I always said, I'm here to bombard you with information, you know, give you those information and have your head cracking. But what I love about what I do then is because someone will come along and make you smile and just undo that. You know, it's not that you make you forget, but it just puts you in a relaxed mode. So if you want to smile, so Helmut is coming up with Mind the Gap. That's a comedy show, so don't miss it. So, yes, we crossing to Helmut with Mind the Gap. So, until tomorrow, be kind to each other.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Eagle FM lets you express your concern. Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.